The phone you are using does not allow...
The Self-Genius Hour of Swatch.
This device requires recall deposit. Please hear a clinking up early, then reach in card.
Mr. Satan Butterwolf began to plan his fiendish caper. With a grin and with a look that reminisced of Butterbooks, he wiped the residue from neath his tail, buckled his perfect trousers right, and to himself we hear him pray, or say, or whatever. My body's full of shit and bones, my body's full of angel light, my legs get very sweaty when I sleep alone at night. My body's full of angel light, my body's full of shit and bones, my legs get very sweaty at night when I sleep alone. And when Mr. Satan Butterwolf came up, all the bunnies gathered round. And when Mr. Satan Butterwolf came up, he saw fuzzy bunnies for miles and miles. And when Mr. Satan Butterwolf came up, all the bunnies asked his name. He answered them with vicious lies. Their laughter made them all fair game. Now sitting on his pedestal and reaching for a roll of paper, Mr. Satan Butterwolf found humor in his recent caper. Peering in the water cool, he saw the faces in his stools of Bunny Bob, Clark and Carl, Bunny Biff, and Baby Bunny Sue. They appeared to have fun out laughing in the sun in their carefree bunny gardens. Vegetation everywhere, life without a care in a carefree bunny garden. Everything was happy there, bunny crap left everywhere to sit in the sun and hide in. But Mr. Satan Butterwolf had plans for tomorrow. Their cheap facade of innocence would lead the bunnies all to sorrow, as Mr. Satan Butterwolf would hide his face behind the shadow sheet. And bunny greed brought bunnies to believe it best to just pretend not to see the cloven hoofs that butterwolves are forced to wear for feet. For a fair-weathered cherub is a butterwolf's meat as they come hopping to hell, as they come non-stop hop, hop, hopping to the sound of devil bells, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. The bunnies found it well for them to cheat and to tell lies behind your backs, so vulgar that a gentleman like Mr. Satan Butterwolf could never find fit to repeat. Gracious indeed. Yes. All right, that's our last song against the Billy Dare Show. Thank you very much for having us here. Thank you for bringing us.
Quite welcome, quite welcome. That was the Billy Nayer Show, live at 9X Day. BillyNayer.com is where you can learn more about them, as well as their great movie, The American Astronaut. This is Hour of Slack number 1058, fourth of the specials, recorded entirely at the 9X Day Subgenius Festival of July 5th week, or at radio stations WCSB Cleveland and KPFA Berkeley right afterwards. This episode features some great ranting and music, especially from the Billy Nayer Show soundboard recordings made by Reverend Maynard Brainerd. These soundboard tapes don't do justice to the way the band really sounds, and yet they're still better than most bands' best recordings, just because of the extremely high bull data content. You'll see what I mean. Also, the show will feature and document the ongoing travails of Reverend Magdalene, whose child, Conbo, is still in the custody of Pinks because of a judicial system so dumb that it thinks the Church of the Subgenius, since it's obviously not Christian, must therefore be the work of Satan. Is it? Let's find out, along with this caller to the Puzzling Evidence Show with Dr. Philo Drummond, Dr. Hal Puzzling Evidence, and some little girl.
Oh, that's silly, I know.
Is that really Church of the Subgenius?
What?
Yes, this is Subgenius. Can I help you?
Hi, caller.
I have a question, please.
Yeah.
All right, we have an
Subgenius
answer.
Subgenius type question.
We have an answer. They may not match, but go ahead.
I've been considering joining your religion.
Well, that's right, handsome.
Demanding our religion.
You can see it joining. Behind us here.
Joining, okay. Joining.
At the wrists and elbows.
I think I may want to be a subgenius.
Well, either you are or you aren't.
So you want to know where to send the money, right?
Is this a monotheism that you have here?
No, it is most definitely not. It has to do with the consideration of a bewildering number of deities.
There we go.
And now I know of something I can say that will be of interest to other listeners.
Well, okay, so
I was searching among the odd fragments that I heard when I was out there at that great festival called X Day, and here is the scoop that you're just gonna love. Yeah. Vanilla, chocolate.
All this is very real. That's the sad part. People don't understand it.
No,
it
is.
The event he's describing was just held, the end of the world.
All right, well.
And here we are.
What we heard more about was the presiding child custody trial involving Magdalene.
Yeah, it turns out
that the prosecution really tried to make a big thing out of Subgenius and how it was really a satanic cult. So there was testimony with the court recorder taking it down. But, all right, could you describe the meaning of Gabofram, please? Narnini and Narnunu.
Where
what
is this
transcript?
This is public record.
The court recorder is just going like this.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Because she's seen pictures of Gary coming up on her computer. It sounds like this.
Meanwhile, Judge Punch stormed out of the courtroom and came back without his robes
on. It's like Iraqistan.
And called them over for a conference and then recused himself.
Ooh.
And he was quite angry about all the bad
Lord of the
things
Rings,
he got on the internet. People calling
with
him bad names.
Yeah.
Ah, that's what he gets when he messes with all the
and
techno.
He gave Magdalene a tongue lashing in court.
Yeah, ever seen that? The Russian tank in Afghanistan?
I don't have anything
really
to do
nice
with
movie,
what people
Beast.
Write in Boing Boing or
really
on the
cool.
internet.
Laughing Squid.
Really a Vietnam movie. But...
So it was all
make
very
for
interesting.
Us. Made
yeah.
for us.
Very yeah, man.
Up it's here. A sinister plot there. Against us.
Oh, we should mention, what schedule is there? One thing that definitely will happen at a time tonight, and that is the burning of the sacred icon and the book burning, the Judge Punch Memorial book burning. Oh, and we've got to remember to put together the Judge Punch Memorial punching bag.
We're going to be punching and bitch slapping Judge Punch by proxy.
We're going to be burning Bob's head, burning our parents' divorce papers, burning whatever kind of hated documents or things we've got on us. I wouldn't recommend membership cards. That's an old joke, and it was
sending onerous paperwork to bureaucratic Sheol.
Right, and also the judge working out aggressions. Unfortunately, Jesus isn't here. I've noticed that when the Lord is at X Day, at some point or another, he gets the crap beat out of him, just because people have such powerful feelings about him, even though they know it's not his fault. He didn't mean to put the Y0K bug into effect and cause the Dark Ages. That was all his fan club. But nonetheless, people, God, they always just tear him to shreds. Maybe that's why he's not here.
It could be.
Last time we saw him at X Day, he was carrying a cross formed into a dollar sign of pool noodles down the road, and half the people here were hitting him, striking him, and squirting fake blood at him through silly squirt guns to humiliate him. That's with a capital H.
Yes, I could hear
that. But he's only Jesus. Bob is him of whom has been foretold. Wait, I said that a little bit wrong.
Him,
he's not he who has been foretold. Bob is him who has been foretold.
He who so was
important Herm. Distinction. He who has been foretold is yet to come. And that happens when the twins with the scissors of sight arrive. We know nothing about that. Him who shall come is Bob. J.R. Bob Dobbs.
Yes.
And he also has not been seen at an X Day or drill. in a long time, or any revival, because every time he did, somebody would take him up on that advice to kill him.
Young punks.
Yeah. So he got tired of having to wear bulletproof clothing at shows.
He had to go up against every young whippersnapper who came along and tried to take old Dobbs down.
Now they use me instead. It's like, oh, I'll show that I'm not a Bobby by making fun of Reverend Stang constantly.
But tonight,
it's
you can all
reverse Bobby
take a whack at Judge Punch.
Right.
At the Judge Punch by proxy punching bag punch out. And later on, dance dementedly around the fire.
Well, maybe we should describe what happened at the bonfire, or do you think not?
Sure, why not?
First off, the
Brushwood Woodbusters, which are the fire experts there, built us a wonderful copy of the Dobbs Head icon, sort of a stripped-down Bob Head that looks almost like a cross, but with more crossbars on it and a pipe.
Yeah.
And that thing was set on fire, and I ranted interminably over the bullhorn, as always.
And so now Judge Punch thought we were satanic because of the goat head, and now we're burning crosses, so he's going to think we're affiliated with the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, but we tried to bring it all together in a symbolic moment. During this particular burning of the icon, the little pipe part fell off in one piece. It's actually two pieces of wood, but it fell off of the face part onto the ground, and the whole of that wooden pipe was smoking. It was an all-smoking pipe. We then held that pipe up to the satanic goat head that, well, actually, it was a cute goat head.
Yeah, really, that's not satanic
that,
at all. It's
that Judge Punch had complained about, and so that the goat head came together with the all-smoking pipe. Later on, there was like a bigger log pipe, which was smoked by the big fire itself. I'm still trying to figure out the logic of that one and
basically,
what it means.
Basically what it all means, all right, is that you can burn Bob to death, you can burn him alive, but his pipe will keep on burning and burning.
His pipe will smoke forever.
That's right.
And sometimes it will smoke itself.
It's got frop in it. What do you expect?
Well, it's got more than
no, actually, Bob doesn't.
Got...
Bob mostly smokes Borkum Riff.
Yeah. Did he come back from the ashes like a phoenix?
But more, what I was very surprised because we had a we were burning hated books like American history textbooks.
Now we're burning books too.
There was also a full sized Judge Punch punching bag, which I had actually purchased at.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to explain.
One of those stores that has toys. It was really hard to find a punching bag. Anyway, that was the Judge Punch punching bag, and I expected the subgeniuses to be lining up to abuse that thing. But vicious punch puncher was a little five-year-old girl.
She was five, wow.
Named Haley, who is the
daughter of the
Woodbusters. Yeah, she was the daughter of one of the Woodbusters. Haley, a little PC pagan child, was just furiously angry at Judge Punch and tore into him with all her heart. Her mom later came up and knifed him, although she knifed him in the air part. His bottom part was full of water, and I gutted that part.
Just like the real judge.
It got kind of violent. And then, of course, we had to... Eventually, there was a sacrifice, and as usual... Who had to drag the burned-up guy out of the fire? Me, Reverend Stang. Everybody else going off to party. Well, me and Reverend Nikki. Nikki had his experience with that.
Well, you kind of broke Haley's heart when you tore apart the Judge Punch doll.
Oh, she knew that
was
going to
happen. She was really having fun torturing and...
Her dad told me that he was going to find her another one, and I... Luckily, I was able to tell him all about every kind of punch bag available.
Wait a second.
Having just shot for him. You know, it's weird the things you end up doing just before the end of the world. Oh, my God, I've got to find this punching bag.
Well, it's a pity.
We're losing some pressure here.
And
fly high over the lawn sprinklers of
okay,
Sacramento.
Okay, I've got some bubble gum. I'm going to patch
the
hole.
It's dawn in that forest that you were just in.
causing the reverse pressure leak. It's more pressure in here now.
Cooking chicken in ale 8 there in the forest.
Ah, yes.
And that's what they do. They get this soda pop from Kentucky, and they cook chicken in it. It comes out with a very strange taste. The taste of X-Day.
So how many...
This tastes like ashes and snow.
It's not bad. No, it's
just... Right.
Well, you're going to ask how many weirdos and occult kooks were there?
The logo.
How many weirdos and kooks were there this year?
More than you could shake a stick
at. Yeah, the Wonder Bread logo is like...
For the most part, you didn't, but you want to go to Doc Fropp's camp and vape out every... hour of every day.
I saw somebody. You know. I saw the littler overweight go face down in the vapor.
Oh yeah, it just
he had to go to the hospital and almost get me arrested just to take a picture of him.
A certain vapidity.
Yeah, he had to go to the hospital. So did anybody have to go to the hospital this year?
No one went to the hospital.
See, that's the measure of a good stock of any kind, like Doc Stock.
But
one
thing is,
somebody has to go to the hospital.
Nikki Defchick is actually a medical technician of some sort, so she is essentially the...
She was an ambulance
medical person
like Baker
on the
18.
Spot.
She's like the general, the secretary general, what do they call them? Elders of the...
Joystick.
Of the Subgenius Church.
Magdalene Sister Zeus is also studying nursing.
The Surgeon General.
Wait,
she's like the Surgeon General of
the
Church, Nikki Defchick.
Officially, whether or not the church is satanic.
Well, that...
It all depends on what you say.
What happened is with the new trial, they said we refuse to admit this Subgenius thing as evidence. It has nothing to do with anything
Yay!
But then the court
don't
said,
fall over. Stand
the court
there,
said we're
up.
Going to allow it anyway because it shows the state of mind of the defendant.
Wait, yeah.
But, state of mind. Subgenius shows state of mind.
Lawyer tried to get it completely thrown out on the grounds that it was not composed at the same time. It was not about the defendant. It's really being brought in, and they're having all this testimony about Gebofram.
And who can define Gebofram? We've tried it a lot of times here on the show to define
it now. Do it.
Or Bohonda.
The Gefine Gebofram. Some people would say divine, but we say Gefine for Gebofram.
Gefine Gebofram.
Mighty fine. Stammy fine,
he's
mighty
fine,
fine, gumbo fine, gumbo fan.
Gumbo.
But that's a real. That's like nailing Jell-O to a wall,
or stuffing it into a parking meter.
But why?
I like to take Jell-O and put it into a parking meter.
Or trying to clean the windshield of the same vehicle with.
Yeah, trying to clean the windshield with Jell-O. If you have enough of it, it's okay because you just spray it on.
The Puzzling Evidence Show there with Dr. Hal, Dr. Philo Drummond and callers and Kay Rob's girlfriend. Friends, Reverend Magdalene needs help, seriously needs help. Her lawyer bills are huge. She needs $10,000 yesterday. As you can hear, the subgeniuses are frantic about this. Friends, I'm going to pull that music down because this is important enough. If you want to get more information about the Bevilacqua case and how to donate, I'm going to give you some... first, the PayPal address for Moms for Bob, if you just want to PayPal it, magdalen@subgenius.com. Magdalen is spelled M-A-G-D-A-L-E-N. Or... her blog, well, her name is Rachel Bevilacqua, and she's on blogspot.com at rbevilacqua.blogspot.com. I'm going to spell rbevilacqua. That's RBEVILACQUA. rbevilacqua.blogspot.com or modemac.com/wiki/Reverend_Magdalen. Praise Bob. I think that's all the questions.
We do have one more. Can we do one more question?
All right.
And
certainly.
This is, I don't know why this one wasn't asked before. The question is, why a goat?
Well, you see, Bucky.
I should have brought that goat head down here. I have.
Well, we have it. We have it nearby. In a sense, it is always hovering nearby, an ethereal presence to remind us that we are, after all, dealing with religion here, with numinous powers. Not only a cleverly constructed goat skull, but also a goatish presence who no one knew would have the power to reach ahead through time and affect and manipulate future events. But why choose a goat anyway? The fact is that in all previous cultures, sacrifices were made to the gods because these older gods had a taste for blood. Yes, the blood was poured on the smoking altars, and even the Christian gods, so goody-goody and namby-pamby, enjoyed torn flesh and blood when it was offered up by Abel, and not the completely vegan and politically correct repast offered up by Cain. Thus, Cain, in utter frustration, slew Abel and was discharged from the Garden of Eden with the disfiguring mark of the bobby on his brow. So, why a goat? Because the Judas goat, the sacrificial goat, the one who goes before, the goat is the symbol of the entity, the being that the hammer of injustice will come down upon, right between the horns, in order so that the same thing doesn't happen to us. Let it happen to something, and let that something be a goat, the goat.
Dr. Howell, there's another answer to that question.
There usually is.
I think Reverend Magdalene was a little too flustered by being asked the question by the judge, but there was a very simple answer to why a goat.
Well, of course,
when young Conbo asked her once, "Mom, why does the moon get bigger and smaller?" So sometimes there was a full moon, and then it would become a crescent moon. He said, "Why does that happen?" She didn't want to go into the whole complicated explanation about the sun and moon and everything. And she said, "Well, that's the sky goat comes and eats a little out of the moon every night."
That's a real neat joke.
Back. And Reverend Magdalene, during the deity ball that year, dressed herself as the sky goat.
This
charming, self-created myth that she told her little boy so that he would quit asking questions about scientific, astronomical, geophysics, and so forth. I'm sorry I didn't bring it down here. We should bring it down certainly for the ceremonies at the fire tonight. We have the original sky goat mask. We had no idea how important that would be to Judge Punch. It wasn't that important to us. She almost threw it away. But turns out that was the key to the hidden Satanism of the subgeniuses. Speaking of Satanism, you know, at Starwood, they have 1,500 pagans here. And I've stood here, and I don't get all 1,500 come to my thing, because they have a nude body painting opposite. So, but I've many times asked the assembled pagans in front of me, 200 or 300 people, how many people here believe in Satan? And one year, one guy held up his hand, and he was a heavy metal band member.
Well, it's a Christian sect. You have to be a Christian if Satan...
That's what I used to say, but Nenslow corrected me very insultingly and said, "My God, do I have to explain everything to you? Satan has been around for 3,000 or 4,000 years. He was Shaitan, under the name Shaitan.
Or
he was
Eblis.
A sand devil or demon of a pathetic little wandering tribe whose rep just got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know how that happens with some gods and demons.
Little
they don't
old
do
sand
anything
demon,
that
huh?
big, but they become celebrities nonetheless. And so for 2,000 years, we have to follow laws made up by their dipshit PR teams.
Well, you're in the business.
Yes, and that's right. We're just trying to do the new, improved. We're doing the same thing as all the other ones. It's just a little bit better this time because we admit that it's all bullshit. by definition, this must be the one true religion. What you can't get more plain than that. Can you deny the truth of fuck 'em if they can't take a joke? It's a self-validating philosophy. You can't contradict it. It's the ultimate kook vehicle. And as a result, we've got a lot of kooks hanging off the rear bumper of our fine vehicle.
Yes, it's
trying to catch
too much
a ride
for them. The seething eddies of our passage have disturbed them from their trance-like sleep.
Hi, I believe you should check out The Legend of Atlantis. As Bob said, it's going to be a bummer, man. The prophecy will ring true. Check it out. I better hear something on the next 4 hours or so. And peace out. Ivan Stang, peace out.
You know, Bob did say over and over again the kind of things that schizophrenics and crackpots most want to hear. And they have flocked to hear him say that. Now, we probably don't have to deprogram many of you, but, you know, there's people in the basement of the Dobbstown University Science Clinic that we just can't tell the conspiracy news media about. We've never been able to deprogram them. They're still down there going, Bob Slack, Bob Slack. Nothing wrong with that. I did that for my first 5 years, too, just as I'm sure most of you did. But there is such a thing
they
as you know, going
even,
overboard.
They can't do work for us at airports and bus stations and things. They really need supervision.
Right. So we find these people who believe all the jokes and get the lies and then call everybody else bobbies. So,
yes, in fact,
I was the first bobby. If anybody calls another subgenius a Bobby, you got to call me a Bobby first. I was the first Bobby, and I'm the most slavish and corny Bobby.
And the vehemence.
No one. I'm not going to let anybody else out Bobby me.
Nor shall we let
the Jehovah's Witnesses out kook us.
That's right.
How many times have they waited for the end of the world? Not more than 6 or 7. We've waited for the end of the world. This will be my 11th time. Well, the 9th time, yeah, maybe this will be it, though. There have been omens that this could be the X day. The angel turds that have been left all over the campground.
Verily,
I'm sure almost everybody's
a great
seen
marvel.
Those.
A great marvel.
The collision of the two great storms on Jupiter that's due to start tomorrow. We have no idea what kind of result that could be.
Yes,
what sort
between
of forces
the great
could be
spot and
up.
The not-so-great spot.
Yeah, Red Junior, they call the
yes,
smaller
the
red
smaller
spot.
Red spot. Right.
But it's still going 350
before the
miles
eyes
an hour.
Of the astronomers of Earth.
Oh, that's right. And the other, thank you very much, Reverend Scalpod. During this X day, friends, this is the most important one of all. See the X designed electrostimulo wristbands? We ran out of them this weekend. And since that time, people have been wearing the Dayglow Orange electrostimulo wristbands. So by this, we know the time is nigh for their arisal. And it's possible that some may be divvied up into the X wristband kind and the
well, you mean that
the orange wristband
writing and they shall have two bands.
I
thought that was the amino acids in the Billy Nayer show. I didn't realize that it referred to two wristbands, but that just shows how difficult it is to understand these prophecies until one gets right on the cusp of them, as it were.
Right. Sometimes you don't know what it meant until after the miracle happened. Well, that's a possibility. It could also mean that you're more like part of the refreshments that will be served during the trip. But we just don't know. You know, as you board those great ships, some will be led, in fact, to those first-class seats, and no doubt some will be led through the slaughterhouse doors.
Ballast.
They may be pink. And their money is green. I sold a membership last week to somebody that I would judge to be dumbest, just the pinkest fuckwad. And yet, he sent his $30.
So how pink could he be?
I grappled. I really, really thought. I didn't cash that. I didn't punch in those credit card numbers for a whole week because I had to. But finally, in the end, I thought, what would Bob do? Bob would take the fucking money, tell the guy, yeah, you're a subgenius. Now chant this. Oh, wah, tagu, siam. And, you know, 500 times a night, everything's cool. You know? And by the way, don't you need this new improved Arise video?
Reverend Sang, may I take a minute for a very brief commercial announcement?
Sure.
Motomac has an announcement.
Everything set up here is a commercial announcement. Praise Bob.
Praise Bob.
But of course. I do want to just give one more mention to the lovely person who won the most stoic award, and that would again be Reverend Magdalene. And since we have all of you here, now is a good time to make a plug for a very important fundraiser for Reverend Magdalene's legal fund that is going on at this time. The noble folks of IRC Tap House have produced a series of T-shirts that state, "Why a Goat?" Also, they have one special shirt that they're going to auction off that has been autographed by Reverend Magdalene. 100% of the proceeds of this shirt will go to her legal fund. Thank you very much.
Obviously, it's autographed. I don't know how many of you are doing the online thing. It says "Why a Goat" in the front. I'll read you the back and then show it to you. "We are dedicated to our art. I'm sorry that you don't understand it, sir." Signed, Rachel Bevilacqua, Reverend Magdalene. "Stop talking. Obviously, there's nothing funny in those pictures. Honorable James P. Punch, family court judge." And so we auction this shirt in memory of a time when subgenius could roam freely through the country without being persecuted for their heads. All right, so it has to start at $20. That's what they cost on the internet. If you get one for $15 that's autographed, that's just stupid.
Right?
Sold for $120. That's not loud enough, ladies and gentlemen. I wish there was someone responsible to give this money to. That is all. If anyone else?
I should also mention Reverend Volkerding's donations have not just been limited to that. The cassette deck, four-track cassette deck that I used to put together Hour of Slack and record all this stuff was a donation from Slackware also. Dr. Howell's trip here was a donation from Governor Rocknar. The whole plane ticket and then some. Reverend Bucky and Rev Doc Jack led the auction there. And now let's hear from Reverend Corey McAbee of The Billy Nayer Show.
All right. On this day, we became newly ordained ministers on this very day. And, someone requested certain topics, certain subject matters on this day, on this very day when we became newly ordained ministers. So I think we'll start off by telling a story with a little conceptual dance I once learned. I was there the day that Christ was born. I heard Gabriel blow his happy horn. Three men came to the manger, they whispered, "Howdy, stranger," and I could tell right then the child's life would be in danger. I heard him talking on the hilltop high, and I remember thinking, what a guy. He didn't look too tough, but he said some real cool stuff, and he quit talking after everyone had heard enough. And I was there the night he had his trial. I took a seat because it took a while. It got pretty intense though, he had no real defense though, but everyone I know's been talking about it ever since though. And I was there when he was crucified. I hung around and watched him as he died. I packed a simple lunch, just something I could munch on. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but I had a hunch. And I was there the night he rose from the dead. He had a light that went around his head. He drove around all night, and he was quite a sight. And when I talk about this part, people get real uptight, but I was there the night he rolled his truck. And I remember thinking, what the fuck, man? He was a real good driver. He was a real survivor. He had the driving skills Americans should really strive for. His truck burst into a flaming heap. That's what you get when you buy trucks that cheap. But all his needs were simple. One time he got a pimple. He waved his hand and it was gone, and it was just that simple. I watched him walk out of the burning pile. He blew the crowd a kiss and flashed his smile. You should have heard them clapping. He act like nothing happened. And then he sang a song that said everyone's toes a tapping. And it went a little something like this. I saw Santa and I saw Satan and I said, it looks like they're about to begin it. No, you're wrong, a voice said, the boys in red will be back in a minute. I saw Lazarus sitting on the sidewalk. I sat down by his side. I said, you died. What's it like to be dead? He just looked me in the eyes and shook his head. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. I just keep walking. I saw Lazarus walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He was out of breath. I said, you've always been a hero to me. He said, if I'd known that, I'd have done things differently. I saw Santa and I saw Satan and I said, it looks like they're about to begin it. No, you're wrong, said the boys in red. They said, you're soaking in it. There is a world that's so hard to find between reality and your mind. There is a part of you that works like a spy between your conscience and your eye. And each time you swallow, it photographs your thoughts. These are the only moments God will ever see. Believe it or not, ready or not, you've been recorded for posterity. And if you don't believe in God, it's because he never gave you a soul. And if you don't believe in God, then it really shouldn't bother you to know this fact. And if you don't have a soul, then you're never going to get one. If you don't have a soul, then it doesn't really matter, so you might as well just have fun. If you seek inner peace in a world of strife and struggle, and if you can achieve some personal relief, well, don't let God's face burst your bubble. A battle that's well chosen is a battle that's already won. So pick your fights, focus on yourself, and above all, just have fun. Make this world a better place by living a good life. With your wife and your kids and your cars and your house and your houses and your cars and your wife. Set the good example, not like the unfortunate ones who struggle and suffer and starve and die because they don't know how to have fun.
And then also we had the Billy Nair show.
How was that?
That was ultra cool and groovadelic, and it drove the females into a tizzy as his lanky cowboy hatted form danced on the stage. Then American Astronaut was shown.
Yay, that's my favorite movie ever.
Yes, The Reluctant Astronaut, of course, is the Don Knotts classic. Yes, not
classic.
The same.
What a classic. Not the same, and yet in a class by itself.
And, of course, we also had other films shown there, including Island of Lost Souls, 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, The Tingler, House on Haunted Hill, Sky Captink, and The World of Tomorrow, and the King Kong remake, with special focus on giant insect scenes and other felicity.
So speaking also, of Don Knotts...
Yes, you could tie coolest. Yourself in knots laughing at...
Yes, he has a boulevard named after him in Morgantown, West Virginia, where he hails from, as do I.
But you have a boulevard named after you?
No.
I'll move there.
I just hail from Morgantown.
Oh, well.
But yeah, there's Don Knotts Boulevard.
Where music like this plays in the bank.
Well, sure makes the line go faster.
Yep. While you're waiting in line, you can read the supermarket tabloids on Coogee and Juju's new baby and the stretch marks that appeared on Sanzan.
I am getting on my favorites. Don't think that you have to take it home.
Has Bob been lost in all of this? Have we lost sight of what's important? Have we ceased to follow the trail of smoke and cotter pins and jello by which we know
they've been fooled, but they only need fueling, and that fueling is Bob, the fuel of every subgenius.
A fuel proof of concept, friends.
The fuel that powers that engine.
Well, Bob looks pretty hot in those pictures.
Yeah, I hope you're seeing these wonderful Subgenius art pictures, which we are projecting. You know, hours and hours went into the manufacture of each image that flashes by in a matter of a few seconds. An incredible amount of human labor is displayed behind us. And
in
this
terrible color resolution.
In terrible color, but we had nothing to do with the contraption that's projecting it. What we have to do with is the result which has been achieved. Yes, one can be proud and stand tall as a Subgenius.
Tall as a Brachiosaurus, indeed.
Tall as the extended neck of the Atlantosaurus or the giants of the Mesozoic Age.
What is the largest dinosaur now known?
Well, it's difficult to say because the Seismosaurus was the longest dinosaur. Though Seismosaurus shook the earth, with gentle steps from day to day, she sought the uplands of her birth, devouring forests on the way. But larger than the Seismosaurus was the Argentinosaurus. The old-style Brontosaurus could walk under the legs of the Argentinosaurus and not touch its pendulous, rumbling abdomen.
Vomit. Argentinosaurus was not welcome at parties.
No, but there was an entire category of busy insects which welcomed the vomiting behemoth.
Think of how much that could feed. Friends, think if you were there with the dinosaurs as they vomited fast gouts enough to feed a small mammal for weeks.
Those small mammals were there. But they didn't have weeks to dine on nature's bounty.
No,
they had to snatch and grab what they could to do a dine and dash and eat al fresco in the jungles of the prehistoric world. And you know what, folks? Our own kind was represented even then, the primate order. Oh, it was there. It didn't look like King Kong that much, but you can't blame the Humies for a little bit of glamour in their productions. No, if you look back into the labyrinth of ancestral memory, you'll see a little fuzzy fellow squatting there as Allosaurus and Ceratosaurus do bloody battle under the quivering fronds of arboraceous palms.
Man, you're turning me on now.
The Brontosaurus, a living mountain of flesh and bone. All right. Well, we'll get into that later.
Weren't they too heavy to support their own weight unless they floated around in swamps of
Well, if they
blood.
Let themselves go, I mean, aerobic exercise was important for all beings and particularly for large sauropods because if they fell down, they could injure themselves severely. So every step really had to be skillfully done. It makes me sick how these Johnny-come-lately humans, who have only been around a few million years, go on and on about alleged dinosaur clumsiness. It's humans who are always falling over. And why not? They can get back up again. Unlike the ponderous dinosaurs, who would have to be aerobically successful and clever beyond the agility of stumpy, bumpy humans. And even the primitive humans were in many ways the superior of the modern man, because they had to be to exist in their strange, wild world. We think of a caveman as some belching slob. Nay, not so. The modern TV-watching pink is the belching, stubbled, scratching, farting slob.
Our intelligence has devolved.
The caveman
can't help but devolve.
Or cavewoman.
Until next day.
Like all so-called savages, intensely ritualized every portion of life.
You were talking about
something about dumb versus stupid. I got that dumb versus stupid, and dumb wins when it comes down to it. But there's two kinds of monkeys, dumb monkeys and stupid monkeys. And praise Bob, I'm a dumb monkey, but I ain't a stupid monkey. Now, of those monkeys, there are other variations. Of which one might perhaps account the situation of the mean monkey. More often than not, the mean monkey is a stupid monkey, but there are occasions where the mean monkey is a dumb monkey, in which case we have problems, severe problems, because the dumb monkey although dumb, is not stupid, and when mean, can commit acts of egregious and unreasonable verisimilitude. And the monkeys, well, I have heard speak of monkeys with a nature that is neither dumb nor stupid. One might call them perhaps smart monkeys, but all I myself have not had the glory or honor of interaction with such monkeys. Such monkeys are, to my own experience, strictly hypothetical and not in any way legitimately real or referenceable. But the hypothetical possibility exists for the smart monkey, and towards this end, I think it is not inappropriate for us to aspire in such a direction as to perhaps consider ourselves as potentially smart monkeys. Although I would say, in that regard, it is perhaps overly ambitious for us to consider ourselves presently smart monkeys, but only hypothetically
Yahtzee.
Future smart monkeys, in a Yahtzee sort of a sense. Right. Well, some might agree, and some might not. And I would say to those that do not, that they are incorrect. And those that agree, they probably just misunderstood. Frankly, with the issue of the dumb versus the stupid, there are also other varieties of monkeys. Drunken monkeys. And the drunken factor can augment and magentify the magentify. It's a color. It's yes, it makes them.
It has a really nice flavor, magenta. If you've had any lately.
They can magentify and augment in particular directions and spectrums so as to manifest various other quantities and qualities. The dumb monkeys may or may not be mean monkeys, and the stupid monkeys are often inadvertently mean monkeys.
But you know what? If you keep poking the retarded dog with a stick, don't be surprised if he bites your ass.
Dogs and monkeys are much similar in that manner. Poke a monkey with a stick, he'll bite your ass too, whether or not he's retarded.
You missed the first half of the set, so we'll start it all over again. Okay, we're the Billionaire Show, ladies and gentlemen. This will be our last song for the night. Thank you so much for having us up here. This is a blast, and it's so nice to see all of you. We have our movie playing tomorrow night, The American Astronaut. We wrote it, directed it, acted in it, did the music for it, and so on and so on. It'll be playing tomorrow night, and oh, I envy you the experience of watching it, even though I have seen it myself. You must buy what's that? Our contract? We signed the contract, and we are ordained ministers on this evening. Thank you very much. So again, we're the Billionaire Show. If you don't come up and say hi, do please stay in touch. We got a new film we're working on right now called Werewolf Hunters of the Midwest, and hopefully that'll be out at some point soon or by next year, and we'll let you know when that is. Again, thank you very much. I'll finish all my lunch, and I'll eat all my fries, and I'll prove to you that my stomach's as big as my eyes. I'll spring for the check and walk you to my home. That's where I spend all my days all alone. I'll show you my chair and show you my chair.
show you my bed, and I'll show you movies that I've taped and all the books I've read. I'll show you pictures of me when I had lots of hair, and I'll tell you all the things I think of when I sit and stare. I'll tell you some of my plans and some of my schemes, and I'll tell you all about some of my dreamy little dreams. I'll tell you that my apartment is the center of the universe. It gets hot there. It's hot there now, but it's been known to get a lot worse. I'll show you paintings that I painted and tell you all about my lamp. I'll show you water damage in the corner where it gets damp. I'll put my chair in front of your chair and my feet against your feet. Then later on, maybe we'll want to go and get a bite to eat. I'll finish all my dinner.
In addition to the Billy Nair show, we also had the Amino Acids, and they were Amino Acids, and some other
all these
bands,
professional bands,
some other
making all the Subgenius bands look all the more stupid. Was there much jamming by the Subgenius bands?
There was a little, and even it wasn't too terrible.
Friends, you have been listening to the Subgenius Hour of Slack. The background music here is, and before, is by Reverend Angry Larry with Lonesome Cowboy Dave, Reverend Carter LeBlanc, Reverend Two Beans, Reverend Phil, and Princess Wee, altogether known as Five-Fisted Tales for Connie, that one night. For more information about the Church of the Subgenius, friends, and everything we've covered here, check out subgenius.com. If that gives you slack. Subgenius, by the way, does not have an O in it. However, Bob does, and praise Bob.